flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Chris Sims can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, the channel Miami 560 WQAM. Let's get to our headlines, everybody, which are brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia miles in inventory, like the Sportage, the Sorento, and the Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Mel Kiper has dropped his first mock draft, Leroy. What? What does that puzzle look at me for?
Because I'm curious to know what route the Browns go.
Would you like to hear?
There's something to need a quarterback.
Yep.
But to jeopardize the rest of your team by paying one position $80 million makes it tough.
Well, he has the Cleveland Browns selecting
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah. If I had to guess, that's what I would. If I had to make a choice, that's what I would do because – man, that's a like in a salary cap sport to be paying, you know, you're going to be paying your quarterback 10 to 15. If you pick quarterback that high,
yep.
What, 10, 15 million?
Probably.
You're paying Deshaun Watson 60.
Yep.
That's not even counting a backup. So you're talking about 80 million and you're not like you were 4 and 13 or whatever. You can't be investing that much at one position. Clearly, you need more stuff.
Do you think they're going to let him play both positions?
I think he is a very unique player in that you can kind of feel your way with it and play both until one kind of works itself out.
Because he's going to want to be a receiver, right? Like, a receiver makes way more money than a corner. That's become one of the, like receiver.
So play full-time receiver and then nickel corner.
Yeah. I'm just asking, you think they'll let him do it?
Yeah.
All right.
If they invest in a second pick on a non-quarterback, you damn right they're going to let him do it.
Hey, I'm just asking, dude.
Right. Like, listen, they'll keep a, you know, a play count on him. right? Not, ain't going to be 100 like it was in college. And from that standpoint, he's going to feel refreshed. Say if he only plays 70 plays. That's 30, 40 less than he's been playing. So, like, yeah.
Well, for the Canes fans out there, Mel Kiper has Cam Ward mocked number one overall to the Tennessee Titans. Here was Mel Kiper this morning on SportsCenter. This is what he had to say on why Cam Ward is his number one mock pick.
Cam Ward going at number one. Basically, mock drafts are what you're hearing from your friends in the NFL. I still rate, in terms of my rankings, Shador Sanders is my QB1. But for Cam Ward, the arm strength, better than Shador. Mobility, ability to move around, extend plays, throw on the move, better. And I think when you look at Cam Ward, he makes sense at the number one pick overall because of those talents in three different offenses. Remember, Incarnate Word, Washington State, and then this year at Miami. So he's adapted well to the personnel around him. He's had big years. Then throw interceptions. He's got to be less reckless and careless with the football. But his accuracy, his arm strength, his mobility is the reason why he, I think, goes number one overall for the Tennessee Titans. Why do you have Cam?
All right, there you go. That is Mel Kiper and why he is going with that.
It's between Cam Ward and Shador Sanders. And this might be only because I've seen more of Cam. So I'm going to be honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as he scrambles around and makes plays, I've seen him be accurate in time throws. Right? One, two, three, boom, throw, get rid of the ball. When I watch Colorado, it always seems as if though Shador was holding on to the ball. In football right now, if you're going to be that dude, you better either run a 4-3 or you better be built like a moose if you're going to hold on to the ball for all these unscheduled throws. You look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes. You look at a guy like Josh Allen. You look at a guy like Lamar Jackson. It's getting Lamar Jackson in trouble right now. So what you need now is a guy that's going to be on schedule, read defenses, and make plays. I think for me, and again, I'm going to say it's only because maybe I've seen Cam Ward more. I would say that I've seen him play more on schedule football than I have Shador Sanders. Every time I see him, it seems like he's holding and patting the ball and waiting for Travis Hunter to get open. And that might be unfair, but that's just the way it looked like, and that's why I would lean towards Cam Ward.
For the Dolphin fans out there, just for FYI, at 13, he mocks the Miami Dolphins.
Better be a fat guy.
It's not a fat guy, actually.
What is it?
Malachi Stark, safety from Georgia.
13th pick?
13th pick.
No.
He said, no college.
No chance. No chance.
No college defense has ever had three players go this early in the same year per ESPN research, but Starks could join an early run of Bulldogs. He closes well and makes plays on the ball. 67 tackles this season. He works well in space. He's versatile, lining up as a traditional safety and over the slot. Javon Holland and Jordan Poyer, the Dolphins' starting safeties, are both free agents this offseason, so Miami could certainly address a back-end need here. An offensive or defensive line upgrade could also be the move, though. Yeah.
What? Dude, if they get a little guy, I'm a be Robbie.
I mean, they did a couple years ago, they did draft, what did they draft before he quit? They drafted Minka at, what, 11? You know, that, so they've, you know, they're going to have to probably address it, but I'm with you, dude. Like, first of all, I'm curious. Yeah, I am here, curious, here, Leroy. What do you,
think about this? Let me put it this way. A great defensive line will make a safety look better.
Mm-hmm.
A great safety ain't going to make a defensive line look better. So think of it that way.
I'm also curious, like, they're just going to let Javon Holland walk? Like, what are they going to do there? Because Javon didn't have a monster season. No picks by their safeties this year. He's been banged up the last 2 years. Obviously, everybody talks about, you know, what an intelligent football player he is. You know, but I am curious. Like, what happens there with him? Do they franchise him? Like,
I would say is the craziest thing about all this is He's the one guy that ain't make a stink.
No, he didn't.
And sat back and said, I'll wait, you know, whatever. And they might say, no, thank you. Have a nice one.
They might give him the old
Wilkins.
Is that
why you don't wait? Is that why you make a stink?
Oh, yeah. You should always make a stink.
But, okay.
Maybe not go like full Jimmy Butler, but you got to make a stink.
I guess. I would like an organization to show, right, that you are rewarded for being a company man. As long as I've been watching football, the company man is always the guy who gets screwed. The guy who makes a stink gets his money. So if the NFL and these organizations have a problem with it, you know what? You can fix it. You can fix it. But after seeing what we've seen the last few years and the way things have gone in the NFL, can you be mad at a player for like, I ain't playing till I get my money?
I definitely can't be mad at it, especially because it just feels like, especially with this organization, if you do go that route, like, they'll just keep kicking the can on it.
Right. And I hate, listen, this is one of the few organizations that I've seen that doesn't take pride in re-signing the guys they drafted.
No.
Because here, you could always stand up at the end of the year and say we're building something if you just talk about all the draft picks you have. But they're all gone. So how, like, you have more free agents, which automatically makes your team older, right? And so, like, yeah, man, it's one of the things that has torn me between understanding how management has to do things and the necessity to, you know, have to wait to do things and take care of certain players at certain times, and a player who I would always want to be a company guy, but I would have a hard time demanding that it be that way based on how these organizations treat their players.
Double M says, I have a feeling Miami will be the fourth best team in their own division. Everything is going to crash down. Both the Jets and New England may have a better head coach than Miami now, and of course, the Bills.
Relax.
You're not excited about Aaron Glenn? Oh, hello, Vlad, by the way.
How you doing?
Here's what I would say. Your defense is going to be back.
No, our defense never left anyway. And that's the thing.
I'm saying because
the Dolphins defense.
You're talking about the Jets defense.
I'm saying because of the coach.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying. It matters, Vlad. It matters. The same guys were garbage a year ago.
Yeah, they were still in rank 6. That's the thing. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, but who is going to be their QB?
That's the question.
Like, who the hell are they going to – Russell? Probably Russell Wilson?
No, they don't want to
do that. As a stopgap?
No, because here's the thing.
Who else are you going to go to? You can't bring back Sam Darnold. You can't.
If you thought Aaron was bad and Aaron had 3,900 yards, what do you think Russell was?
Yeah, right. But you can't go to – like, who – you're going to go –
hat on Justin Fields?
You're going to go hat in hand to Sam Darnold?
We're going
you
Justin –
You ties on Justin Fields?
We're going – yeah, I think we're going Justin Fields, bro.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you can't do that to Aaron. You can't put Aaron and Aaron. You can't give him Aaron unless they really mess with each other like they're cool.
No, they ain't cool.
Leroy already knows that they're not cool.
Let me explain something to you. A coach will know how to play that game. A former player will not.
I will say, though, did you see that video we got tagged on yesterday of Aaron and Tomlin? A lot of goo-goo eyes going back.
Yeah, that was from years ago, yeah.
I don't think that leaves.
Listen, in public environments, you got to be nice to one another.
Wait a minute. On the field? I'm not googling eyeing you on the field.
No, I'm talking about, like, was it during the game?
It was during the game.
They were just...
Oh, come on, you see? He thought they were outside. He thought they were outside, and then when I say they're on the field, it's not...
I'm going to send you the video again.
Guess what? I've smiled at folks. They still knew what was up, though.
You're like, that guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's see. I'm going to find this for you.
Listen, I would be surprised if the only way I could see Aaron Rodgers playing for another team is if that team brought in a quarterback or drafted a quarterback and then used, like, having Aaron Rodgers for a year as a stopgap is not terrible. I would rather have Aaron Rodgers as a stopgap than Russell Wilson.
Mm.
So depending on the draft, right, maybe determine what teams would be interested in Aaron Rodgers. That makes sense? What are the Jets going to do at quarterback? What if the Jets draft a quarterback? Where do they pick?
Not high enough, because it's not a deep quarterback draft.
Yeah.
You know, that's another one of Kuiper's points. He's like, neither one of these guys of Shador or Cam would have, like, even registered ahead of any of these guys in this draft. It's like, it's not a very strong draft. Not saying that Cam can't be great, but it's...
Now, so this is what I was telling you with the Browns. Is it a situation that, yeah, you may need a quarterback, but you don't really love the option, so you pick somebody else?
Yeah.
Whereas there's some teams that say, oh, we need a quarterback, let's get the highest rated quarterback in this draft. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that there's a good quarterback.
It's possible. Yeah, it's definitely, right. Like, if you're not in love with that guy.
We've had those years, too, where there was five quarterbacks available, and everybody ranked the quarterback, so everybody went and got them a quarterback, and they weren't all good.
I mean, case in point, the Trevor Lawrence draft.
Oof.
Oof.
Terrible. None of these quarterbacks have lived up.
Right. Right.
To the expectation.
Trevor Lawrence was a can't-miss guy.
A can't-miss guy. Dude, he wasn't.
That miss.
But then if you look at the Joe Burrow draft, all the quarterbacks hit.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good. I mean, this draft's looking like something. Especially Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. We still got to see what...
Still got to see what Caleb can do.
Penix and Caleb can do.
But I mean,
well, Penix kept that job. Like
he had it for 3 weeks.
No, he had longer than that.
No, he had it for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah. It's the last three games of the season.
Felt like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. But I would say he was with all, like, when these guys come out, you hear so much of the negative stuff. So I heard so much of the negative stuff with Penix that when I actually saw him play, I was like, oh, okay, he can play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good he's going to be, right? But I saw him make some throws and, you know, do his thing.
Genty, by the way, is a draft. He's mocked at 20 to the Broncos. For those who are...
Man. Wait, so aren't the Fins are looking at O-line at 13, right?
Well... It's
Vlad. Did you?
One would think that would make
sense. I'm sorry. I had to do it.
No.
Guess. Let me explain something to you. Guess what Mel Kiper has them projected.
Nah. What is Mel? No, what is Harry Joe got?
Guess.
A wide receiver.
No.
A safety.
Might as well be though.
A safety.
A safety.
Don't you have safeties?
No, not really.
Listen. There's going to be one requirement of that draft pick. And if there's none available, trade down.
True.
But here it is. He better be over 295 and play on one side of the ball.
Beefy.
End of discussion. If there's none that grade that high and you trade down, I can live with that.
He wants to be he has to be 6'2", 295 or more, and have feet like a bear.
Yes.
That's Ethan says if Leroy can't
be able to dance with the stars, baby. Dance with yeah.
Schmeathan says if Leroy can't fat shame him, the Dolphins shouldn't draft him.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I want him to get drafted like.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I gonna make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Back after this. All right, welcome back. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Hey, Leroy, can we get a weather update from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm? YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultation 24/7. Call them at 866-954 more.
Cloudy, chilly. Hazy, rainy, wind's not blowing very much, light breeze, I'm guessing it's starting to turn out of the north, and it's a little chilly out there. Has it even reached 70 degrees yet? But, day, he's gone.
He's gone.
But my mom sent me pictures.
Oh, dude, didn't you guys get like 10 inches in New Orleans?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Pensacola got it. Tallahassee got it.
I saw pictures of snow on the beach.
Crazy. Snow on the beach.
You know what's crazy? Guess how old I was the last time it actually snowed in New Orleans?
4?
2.
Never.
Oh.
I wasn't alive.
Crazy, dude. That was a wild scene yesterday.
Yep.
A wild, wild scene. Yesterday, the Baseball Hall of Fame, they announced their inductees for this upcoming season. And the class's headline, Leroy, Ichiro.
Oh,
who's the hater?
One guy didn't vote for Ichiro. One guy.
You know they do that just to be
just because
like, I can't wait when the old perish, man. I'm sorry, so that we can
all of the old or just the old writers?
The old writers when they perish, so that because they get their kick. You know what I'm saying? They get their kick of like, I'm gonna justify and uphold the game. Really, this man is a first ballot, 100%. Hall of Famer. And there's going to be some guy that's going to say he's not a first ballot? Come on, man.
Got his 3,000th hit with the Marlins.
Look at that.
I really didn't think that Ichiro thing with the Marlins. I was like, this is what we're doing, huh? Ichiro and the Marlins.
You thought it was going to be like the 1 day or 2 day thing?
You know what was crazy, though, dude? I remember, I think it was his last season with the Marlins, and I remember I went to a game with Zaslow, and like even then, like a bunch of fans from Japan, and they bought out the Marlins store of Ichiro merch.
Right.
Like, that guy is beloved, a true icon of the game, especially in Japan. Really crazy.
He is. Remember all the media we had around?
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
It was a wild one. And there was, like, I think 1 year he ended up playing a lot, especially, like, he ended up, like, getting a good chunk of at bats just because, like, everybody got hurt that year in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Ichiro's like, they just sent him out there, 42 years old, doing his damn thing. You know?
I tell you what, he could probably still hit a baseball.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? Because, and what people said was, he chose to hit that way, but...
Oh, no, he could hit home runs.
He actually hit with power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, batting practice, he'd be hitting, like, shots over the fence. But he just decided he'd rather hit for contact.
He did that, like, that running slap hit. That was sick. And then, he's obviously a great bunter. You know, awesome outfielder. Love Ichiro, dude. That guy had aura. Something about him. He had aura.
He did. Something about him. Never heard him speak a word of English.
Oh, no, he can speak some English now.
He apparently could speak English, but he wouldn't.
You know what?
Oh, no, he can curse. He can curse like a sailor.
I know a bunch of people from other countries that can, especially in sports, that can speak English, but they don't want to, the translation of some of the things they want to say gets lost, so they don't do it.
I will say this, though, Leroy. And yes, Tobin will definitely agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest thing ever happened in sports is Canelo Alvarez learning English.
Oh, my God. He is an incredible bleep talker.
Canelo Alvarez learning English and learning how to curse is the greatest thing that happened
in
sports.
That remains the dream interview. I'm waiting to get us Canelo. We've gotten nibbles. Like, I'm dying to get us Canelo in English. Dying for it. But, like, that is...
I'll tell you what. There's nothing greater than going to a fight, Vlad, going to a fight, and to see the crew when they roll in about 20 deep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right? Listen. I, as crazy as it is, it's the day before the fight. It's the weighing that I get excited.
That's Tobin's thing.
See, the weighing gets you geeked. Like, the trash talking, the people that you already see that are there gives you a little insight of, like, what going to happen the next day on Saturday when everybody comes in, because there's a lot of people that come in on that Friday for the weigh-in, and the amount of crap talk you hear, the boasting, that's it for me. I like that.
Well, the weigh-in last time we went, we got to see some giblets because dude got naked.
Yep, sure did.
They held up the towel over here, but dude was naked over here.
Too late. My man was trying to make like 115 too. He was trying to make like uber like, feather flyweight.
We like, yo, Tobin, what are they doing? Dude,
is there not a sauna around?
He changing over here.
They chose to do the weigh-ins. Usually, like, they bring the weigh-ins, like they do it at like a. They do the official weigh-in. Sometimes they'll do them, like, just in a back room somewhere, and then they'll do the ceremony at the arena. For whatever reason, they decide, nah, we're going to do it right here in the media center.
In the media center, right.
And they were like, Then they were, like, trying to block us off, and they're like, yeah, we didn't know media was going to be here. You didn't know media was going to be in the media center?
No, they were trying. Remember, they kind of tried to keep us separated from Canelo.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing. Like, Boy, Oscar was going to make the rounds. We ended up getting him on the show, and they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah, we got to make sure they can't see. He can't see Canelo because he was just going at Canelo all week.
And they walked right by each other.
Yeah, it was a futile effort.
In fairness, because of you, Tobin, If two people are at war or have any animosity, you being 200 feet or near, it's going to cause a riot. I'm just saying, you have it's something about you. You have a je ne sais quoi of causing beef.
Although I will say, one fight we went to, and they just decided to do a promotion right in front of us after we had interviewed both guys. That was awkward.
Yep. I like it.
Your street that is hysterical. Street that said you put the ass in gaslight.
We'll take a break. Mix things up coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let us get to the mix bag. Vic Fangio, known as Fangs around these parts, left the Miami Dolphins for Kelly Greener Pastures, as he is the Philadelphia Eagles in his defense in the NFC Championship, taking on the Washington Commanders. And old Fangs, who's not one to pass out the praise, does for rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. Here was Vic Fangio yesterday.
He's a young quarterback by birth certificate, not by the tape. You know, the guy's playing extremely well. You could tell how much they think he's playing, you know, so good by the volume of their offense and the things they trust him to do. And he's come through for them in a big way, and he's tough to handle.
The old love somebody who's got an old soul, Leroy.
An old soul.
That's what he does, dude. That's what he's basically saying with Jaden Daniels. He's got an old soul at quarterback.
Right.
He's good.
He is.
You think you can pull this off, though? Or you think this is the Eagles?
I think here's the dilemma of this game. The Commanders are explosive on offense. The Eagles aren't, besides Saquon Barkley, explosive on offense. Can they cure that explosiveness on defense and slow them down and make them go down the field methodically? If they can do that, I think Philly has an advantage. But if they start having these big plays where it was McLaurin and some of these other guys, then it's gonna be a dogfight. Now, I know Fangs plays defense to eliminate the big play.
Yep.
So from that standpoint, that is a lot that you have to understand. He's gonna play a lot of two deep. He's gonna try to keep everything in front of him, kind of make you have those 10 play drives.
There's two ways the Commanders can win this game. One, just make Jalen Hurts beat you. Because it seems to me the worst Jalen Hurts play, that's the way Philadelphia's going to win. If he throws for over 200 yards, Philadelphia's probably going to lose. Because he throws for 130 yards and they win because they give the ball to Saquon.
He has to throw for 300,
they lose. So I wouldn't have him throw the ball.
Yeah, but Vlad, mm-hmm. Here's what I love about sports. You think they've played 19 games so far, right? You think the other 19 games they haven't said, let's stop Saquon Barkley and make Jalen Hurts beat us?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, the dude has run for over 2,300 yards.
I get it. I know.
Okay, so you.
But you get paid amount of money for a third time after you face somebody two times for a third time to come up with a plan to limit that man.
There's one thing to say what you're going to do. There's another thing to do it. All these teams have been trying to stop Saquon Barkley and make Jalen Hurts beat you. And then you know what happened last week? Jalen Hurts ran for a 44-yard touchdown.
Well, you know what? And then you know what else happened after he ran? He got hurt. And that's the team that gave him the concussion. So knock his ass out again.
But again, that's a whole nother dynamic. Like, if they run that read option, Let Jalen Hurts go free.
Bro, Jared Goff went flying on the interception that he threw this past weekend.
And here's the other thing for Philadelphia. I'm going to tell Saquon Barkley to do something he can't do.
What's that?
Instead of going for home runs, I need you to go for doubles. Because I need you to milk the clock so that offense doesn't get back on the field.
Vlad, listen. That's what it is. See, people don't realize the art of running back. Right?
I do.
Most guys that run the ball for 150, 200 yards, a majority of those yards come on two or three carries.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So I don't want that. What I'm saying.
That happens a majority of the time. 4 yards, 5 yards. Yeah. You get you a 10-yarder.
I don't want that. Yeah, I'm just saying limit the – because here's the thing. Leroy, here's my theory.
Hear him out.
I'm hearing him out.
I'd rather you get the 10-yarders than the 70-yard touchdowns because you're just giving them the ball back again. When you're scoring 70, 80-yard touchdowns,
it seems to be pretty unstoppable.
Yeah, it's almost like you're
– That's my point.
I know. I need you to stop doing that and milk the clock so you don't give them. You're going to get an 80-yard touchdown? I'll give you the 80-yard touchdown so you give me back the ball.
Understand what Philly's going to do defensively. They're going to try to get after you with four.
Yeah, that ain't
helped
the last
time. They're going to probably have some kind of spy. They're going to run some kind of zone blitz. But they're going to play zone behind you and make you methodically move the ball down the field.
And I saw him do that the last game.
What killed Detroit was two things. The turnovers and the big plays. So Philly's thinking the same thing also. Let's not give up the big play. Let's not turn the ball over. And let's make them methodically move the ball down the field.
Also in the mixed bag, Shams Charania, he explains what the thinking was with the Suns Utah Jazz trade. Here is Shams.
Essentially, it's them getting more assets to play with right now, and they're trading away their 2031 first-round pick to get three lesser favorable first-round picks. So over the next 6 years, really unlocking their draft. They don't have a pick that's so far out into the future. They have picks to play with right now, multiple picks. And Jimmy Butler is a player that we've reported on for the last month and a half that he has wanted a trade out of Miami. The Suns are atop his list of preferred destinations. And the Suns, if they're going to complete a deal for Jimmy Butler, it's likely going to be something that's going to take 3, 4, 5 team potential trades from what I'm hearing. And to do that, you have to have enough assets to sufficiently make adequate all these other teams. And we still don't know. Will those three first-round picks that they've acquired, will that be enough? But both sides are kind of balancing leverage. The Suns making this deal to better position themselves for a player. They know they're in a win-now, all-in situation. They need a player like Jimmy Butler to put next to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to try to compete in that Western Conference.
The fascinating thing with all this is going to be, you know, can the Heat get out of this thing, you know, from a standpoint of they still can clear their books? Could they get any asset out of this? With the situation you're in, I think that's in a pretty good spot. I don't know what the best move they would have gotten anyway for a team that is bringing in Jimmy, and especially Jimmy if you weren't going to give him a contract. The idea that they know they're going to get a happy Jimmy even with paying him, and they're going to get off the Beal deal, I think we'll probably end up with Miami getting some kind of an asset. And if it's even in the right kind of year, you know, that could kind of reset things, especially, you know, knowing that they owe the Rozier pick, which, God, is going down as one of the worst trades in franchise history. Then you'll be okay. But, man, right now, leverage, like, I don't know how much more awkward it can get for Miami from this standpoint. I feel like they've kind of been through the worst of it, but I don't really know how they get to the other side of it, because it certainly is just a thing every single night. You know,
it looks awkward.
You feel it, and it's very palpable in the way they play.
Here's the other thing. The Heat could end up with some pretty good players. If you're talking about involving Milwaukee, who also wants to try to get over that hump and get something that can maybe move the needle a little more, Chris Middleton has kind of lost his spot on that team where he was the number two, and now he's an other. So if you can kind of get, if the Heat could end up with somebody like Chris Middleton, right? Who I would make fun of, but still is a good player. you don't like Chris Middleton? Why not? Why not?
Anybody's had two surgeries on two different legs?
Yeah.
I don't. Mm.
But what if the Portis comes with him?
Mm. Mm. I mean, you know what the problem with these teams that I've noticed, like Milwaukee and Denver and Golden State? It's like their best players, their franchise players, are still franchise players. Like, I think this might be the best Giannis I've seen. Jokic might be a better Jokic than any of the MVP seasons. Mm-hmm. And Steph is still Steph. But the teams around them aren't just good. They're older. Unfortunately, those long playoff runs going to take its toll after a while. And these are what's happening.
Well, I think the thing that the Heat are going to be looking for with Middleton is if they do bring him in, it's essentially you're slicing whatever Jimmy Butler would opt into next year, which would give him a little bit more flexibility, but also he'll be clear by the 26th summer, which is the summer they want to be having the decks cleared, because you would have, let's just say, essentially.
Who's that, Luka?
Luka, you know, and I believe, I think Ant is like a possibility as far as like, you know, Wilbur and things like that. If they wanted to make those moves, because you would have Middleton, Terry, and Duncan would all come off the book. So you're talking like, what? That's almost 80 million.
Wow, 80?
70? You know, so like that's a big clearing of the decks, so they're able to do that. So we'll see. But certainly it's impossible not to look at what happened. I mean, the Heat could also go for a double move. Like if this is, you know, we also got the De'Aaron Fox thing that's going to be out there as well. I don't know what they're thinking. You know, like, so right. We'll have to, but certainly they're going to have to find somebody on that wing to replace Jimmy. Especially with how up and down Jaime's been. Like, I'm sure Jaime will feel much more comfortable being back in the starting lineup. He looked better in the starting lineup on the road trip than he does coming off the bench. But
it's time, and here's the thing. The Heat do a unique thing as far as roles. There's a handful of guys on their team where their role changes from night to night. And one of the things that makes it difficult is when you have a lot of young guys, right? You have a lot of young guys, and their role changes from night to night. They start playing spotty.
You think that he'd give Middleton 22?
Absolutely.
Nah, they're going to retire 22.
So what? He's not retired now.
Champ Jones.
Again. When D Wade left, nobody would dare put that number.
Has anybody worn six?
Nope. Hmm. Nope.
Nobody would dare put that number on.
Nobody's gonna wear number three.
Nobody in the locker would allow.
Now Middleton might not want to wear 22. But that is his number.
But again, listen, we're dealing with two petty individuals.
Who? The and dogs Pat, or you?
And Pat and Jimmy.
I am very, like, dude, we'll take a break. But that is one fascinating thing. When this is all done, I am waiting for
the full story?
What is the tell-all going to be? Or what is the alleged tell-all going to be from both sides?
So you want the 30-30?
Yeah.
30 for 30?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what is that going to be? Take a break. Back after this.
What the 30-30?